Hello, and welcome to this podcast from Consider This. Please let me know what you think and tell others about us on social media. This podcast was originally broadcast live on Northumberland 89.7 FM. You can hear this show live every Friday at noon. Thank you for downloading this program, and I hope you enjoy it. Hello, I'm Robert Washburn, and welcome to Consider This Northumberland, a current affairs program dedicated to the issues facing our community. We talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life in Northumberland County. So I'm asking you, the listener, to take some time out of your busy day to consider this. On October 18th, the emergency shelter's warming room at 310 Division Street was supposed to open. Instead, politicians are grappling with what to do. The county wants 4 exemptions to the town's emergency establishment bylaw. When no one could agree at last week's county council meeting, it was decided to go to a hearing to resolve the outstanding issues. In the meantime, people are living unsheltered and the weather is growing colder. On today's show, you will get the details about what's going on. County CAO Jennifer Moore will explain what is happening and why. She will also talk about what's next for the encampment on King Street in Coburg. With the final sale of the former Brookside property on King Street pending in a few weeks, Moore will explain what is next for the people living there from the county's perspective. I'm so pleased to have with me today Northumberland County CAO Jennifer Moore. Welcome back to Consider This Northumberland.
Thanks, Rob.
Let's start with the current status of the building at 310 Division Street. Where are you with the renovations?
So the renovations were divided into phase one and phase two. Phase one is the lower floor, which most people know is the warming hub or respite center. Those renovations are complete. And as of last Friday, October 18th, that part of the facility is ready to be put into use. It is renovated and furnished. So that is the drop-in area that is also washroom facilities, laundry facilities, reception, that sort of space on the first level is ready to go at this point. And then the upper floors will be in the next few weeks. They are currently, we've received that building permit in the last few weeks, and those renovations were all queued up. We had done as much work as we could without the permit, and now that the permit's in place, the balance of the work is going ahead. And those are, the actual shelter rooms where people would stay overnight, as well as the transitional units. So those are in progress, and in the coming weeks, they'll be ready as well.
Do you have any sense of a timeline when that could possibly be available?
It should be. It depends on how the work goes, but it's progressing. So probably it'll be before year end is when they should be ready to be occupied.
Another piece in this puzzle is the Community Liaison Committee. What is its status?
Well, actually, as we're doing this interview, those interviews are taking place to determine the members of the committee. So we've already done the presentations. They've been made, and we've done the call out to the public for those that are interested. There was also a training session for interested folks to come out to so they could get a sense of what the committee would be talking about, what their goals would be and their objectives and the expectations of the committee members. And after that training session, the folks that were still interested have submitted their resume or their application. And throughout this week, there are interviews taking place so that they can determine the composition. And they're looking for the first meeting of that group to take place. I believe it's in early November.
Could you describe the current understanding that you have with Transition House in terms of 310 Division Street?
So currently, Transition House, they operate at 10 Chapel, and they provide shelter beds there. They also provide some other services and support where folks are in motels and that sort of thing. They would do that. So that will be consolidated into the new location. And when it moves over to the new location, shelter operations supported by the county, will certainly stop at 10 Chapel, and it'll see that relocate and be consolidated, as well as motel rooms, and that will all be consolidated at the 310 division location, where the rooms are much more appropriate and suitable for the shelter, the needs of our shelter clients.
In terms of that relationship, they were contracted to do 10 Chapel Street and provide a certain level of service. Has anything changed as they moved to 310 in terms of your relationship, the building, what services they provide? Has that fluctuated at all?
We're doing new agreements with Transition House, so they are current and complete, but the bulk of it is the same. They will still be contracted by the county. We call them service agreements in the service manager world. So we'll have a service agreement with them, and it will specify a certain amount of funding. And within that service agreement, it has a number of obligations. We've, I guess, beefed that up a little bit to what our current agreement is with the new facility. It is, of course, larger, and it consolidates the warming space as well that was at a different location. So it is obviously a bit different agreement in that it's consolidating all of the pieces of those sheltering services that were previously in different locations. It incorporates a lot of expectations. So how they're going to interact with clients, what deliverables they'll have, what we expect of them, and how they'll deliver their services. It talks about the partnerships and the supports that they'll have on site, the relationship with the county, how they will maintain the building. Obviously, that's a bit of a new element to the agreement because it isn't just about offering the shelter service, but we do have components now in the agreement that speak to how they will take care of a building that is a county asset, as they're an operator, but they have obligations to keep that building running and to maintain it in a certain condition and make sure that, I guess this is where we get into the good neighbors and how they will, you know, make sure that that is an appropriate facility and operate it in the right way and maintain the way we want to see a county asset maintained. So all of those elements are blended together in a formal agreement, and it also sets out the financing of that.
What about staffing? Does the county require a staffing level, and is it Transition House that hires, or is it the county that hires? Could you just flesh that out a bit?
So the way it will operate is that Transition House will be fully responsible for the operations, meaning they will look after the operation of the building and how it functions. So they'll make sure it's kept in good order. And then they will also ensure that they are the direct employer of all the staff that are on that site. And we do have expectations for what their staffing, minimum staffing levels would be. There is some expectations around training levels and that sort of expertise and service that they can provide, but it will be the responsibility of Transition House to do all of that work and make sure that the services run according to best practices.
So before the county could open 310 Division Street, it needed to have a license from the town under its emergency care establishment bylaw. Now, the county submitted an application in August. The town responded. The county resubmitted on October 1st. The county at that time was looking for four exemptions. Can you tell us what those were?
So there's four overarching, I guess, buckets, we'll call them, of those exemptions. So one, I think, has heard a lot of discussion in the public, and that's about security. There are elements of the bylaw that are seeking security provisions. We have arranged for 24/7 on-site security. So for that element, we certainly agree, especially in the early days, that's necessary and as the shelter is beginning and we understand how it's going to function and all of that. So that is in place and already ready to go. The element that we're seeking an exemption for on the security is around external offsite security. And that's where the town bylaw has requirements for that. The county has identified concerns in that we don't have authority. We cannot enforce bylaws. We cannot enforce criminal code. So to have security offsite is a concern. It's also a concern that we would be overstepping. We can't enter private property. We can't, we have health and safety concerns to send workers into those sites where they don't have authority. So there's a number of issues with the off-site security element. So we completely support the on-site and how we manage the property itself and anything that would happen on the property. It's the off-site element that we've sought an exemption on. Similar to that, there's been a lot of discussion about waste, and there's a number of different types of waste. So we've sought an exemption. Again, we certainly have high expectations for how county properties are maintained. We have put everything in place to ensure that the facility, particularly the exterior of the facility where the public will view it, how that's maintained and cleaned. We fully agree with our obligations as a community member for how we maintain that property. The challenge is any waste that's offsite and what the expectations would be. And I think some of that is exemption and also seeking clarification because it says directly attributable to the shelter operations. And that is somewhat vague language and not sure how that's going to be interpreted and wanting to make sure we really understand that for offsite activities. The other areas where there was an exemption is that there was a declaration as part of the application. There are some elements of that that are problematic. For example, some of it is just the tense of the language in that, it says we've done certain things because the building's still under construction. We can't obviously attest to those things being done. We can commit that they will be done. And there's some other things around the extent of liability and indemnification. The county indicated that we would be willing to accept, indemnifying the town, whereas the county responsibility for actions or partial responsibility, we've sought an exclusion for when it's solely the town's responsibility for activities related to the shelter. And then the fourth area of an exemption is around the personal liability for directors, officers, staff of the county. The bylaw does indicate that the town it requires a personal liability for anybody at the county that they see to be holding responsibility for the activities of the shelter. That language is concerning in that it's very broad, and obviously the ability of those individuals to impact the behaviors of folks out and about in the community is quite concerning and difficult to manage, and expecting folks to accept that personal liability is something that we've asked for an exemption to, and of course for the county with municipal legislation, it does clearly talk about when we would be indemnified through the course of conducting our work in good faith.
Why has it been so difficult to reach a conclusion on these? What seems to be the sticky point?
I think some of that is maybe perhaps a question for the town. With respect to the county's position, we did, I don't think we're at a point of negotiation. At this point, we did go through that process of negotiation when there was consideration for an agreement. That was earlier this year. And in that that proposed agreement, there was a clause that we were proposing where we could look at some sort of cost sharing to be negotiated. The town made a decision that they did not want to pursue an agreement, so that was removed. The current bylaw does not have a mechanism in it to talk about financial compensation. I think that's certainly on the table. That was discussed at the most recent county council meeting, and I think that is something that could be considered. The bylaw doesn't currently have a mechanism for that conversation, but I don't think it's off the table. And I think at a political level, they're certainly interested in having those conversations.
So what are the current options for the county moving forward at this point?
We're hoping that we can continue to work with the town. And I think that is really our preferred option, to look at how we can find a solution. It's getting colder, and we do want to make sure that folks are in this really great facility. It offers many, it's not a solution for everything, but it does take us dramatically forward in the services that we can offer to the residents in need in our community. And we do need to find a way to get those folks sheltered and starting to get access to the wraparound services in a more meaningful way.
What was the original recommendation for the county to consider at its October 16th meeting?
Because we had been denied the full approval of the exemptions we had requested, we returned to County Council to seek direction on where they wished us to go for next steps while we engaged with the town of Coburg and their bylaw process.
If that had been passed, would that have opened the facility on the Friday, or was it still going to delay things?
We still have there's two components to the town's bylaw. There is the exemption process, and then there's actually issuing the license. There were some elements that we need to address in order to achieve the license beyond the exemptions. We feel that those everything is underway to meet those points. There wasn't anything there that we had significant concern with. It was all very, very doable. If we can come to terms on the exemptions, then we would still need to wait for the town to issue their license, and that would go through their process if there had have been agreement on walking away from the exemptions that we had requested, then we anticipate we would have been issued a license.
All right. You're going to have to forgive me because that sounded really confusing. Can you just break that down and make it a little simpler that we could understand? You had this date, you had a motion that, had it been approved, would that have then facilitated the opening on the Friday? Can we just deal with that if that had been
It
approved?
may have. If we had have gone back to the town with that direction, then we would have still had to wait for them to issue the license. If they issued it by that timeline, then yes, we could have opened.
All right. All right. But unfortunately, that didn't happen. So, from a staff perspective, what are the pressures that exist to make a decision in a timely manner? I mean, I know there's now been direction given that there's going to be a seeking of some kind of hearing. And what now has to unfold in order to get that facility open and available to the people who need it?
The first step is to go through the hearing process. We've submitted that request, and coming into this interview, I did not yet have a date for that. We expect that will be quick, but we don't have the exact timing at this point, or it hasn't come to me yet. So that is where we are at this point, and that is our first step, and that's the direction that we've been given at this point.
So we're waiting for this hearing to resolve the issues over these four exemptions that you described earlier. Why is it so important to get these exemptions? Why not just follow the bylaw?
I think that it's like many new pieces of legislation. This bylaw, there is some areas where we have concerns at a staff level about how we would comply, how it's going to be applied to us and to Transition House. Really, it's understanding that clarification and before. Agreeing to that, really understanding how we can even comply with it, and the exemptions that we're requesting, we really are struggling with how we would meet those expectations of the bylaw, and really meet the intent of that. It's in many cases, like security, for example, it's beyond our scope. We really don't have the authority to do what is being asked of us.
I guess people might not understand how new this bylaw is. And I was wondering maybe if you could just talk a little bit about this, because this has no precedent, if I am understanding correctly. Could you just talk a bit about that and explain that?
Yes, that this is uncharted. We're in uncharted waters. So that is part of the challenge, is navigating something that is brand new, and understanding how that is to be applied and how that will impact our operations as a service manager. The county does have the responsibility for overseeing the homelessness system and making sure that resources are available in the community. We are not aware of any other community where the service manager is navigating this type of a bylaw. So it is very new, and we're not aware of anywhere else where we can turn to for precedent in doing this.
Part of the last county council meeting, there was part of the motion was to have town staff come back to county council and explain things and help the politicians understand what's going on. Why is that necessary?
That was a request of County Council, just to, I think, have a better understanding of how the town intends to apply this, and if they can help alleviate some of the concerns that have been raised in the application of the bylaw.
How much do you think this hearing's going to cost taxpayers? Do you know it yet, or have any sense of it?
I don't have a sense at this point.
But there is going to be a cost associated, a hearing. You have to have lawyers and people have to sit down and be paid. Yes.
I can't speak to the town's costs.
Of
I
course.
Know for the county, we do have in-house counsel, and that's how we will proceed.
All right. Is there any way forward that you could see to resolve this without a hearing or further delays?
We would love to be able to sit down and have a conversation. We've made some of those requests. I understand it's challenging for the town staff to have those conversations and what direction they have. So we're balancing a lot of community concerns, and we appreciate those. It is difficult to find what the solution is for everybody. And I think there is a lot of concern in the community, and we appreciate that. We do fully understand that this is, it's certainly a new and different facility, and those changes are concerning for the community, and trying to appreciate that and reflect that. But at the same time, we really do need to make sure that those that are living rough do get into somewhere, and I think that's it's hard to find that path forward when we have very emotional and competing interests at this point.
How would you describe the relationship between county staff and the town staff?
I think generally we work really well together. I certainly know many of the town staff personally, and I know most of my team do. We have our colleagues that we tend to work with, from the front line right up through to the senior team. They are a great group of people, and I think we do generally work well together when we meet, when we have our working groups and our intermunicipal committees. We really do work well. We get along. We occasionally, go out for dinner together, and I think we do have generally a good working relationship. But unfortunately, in the upper tier, lower tier structure of municipal government, sometimes we do have competing directions from our council, and as staff, we have to navigate that. And we can put on our hat and be professionals, and we do that. And then we can also certainly get along when we're outside of that issue.
Because you could appreciate, listeners might be saying to themselves, like, why don't you guys just get along and get this done?
And I think we all have our job to do, and we all have our direction to execute. And sometimes that is competing, but when it comes down to it, I think we all do get along well, and there's a lot of things that each and every day the staff work side by side to deliver services to the community. And unfortunately, sometimes there's big issues that get a lot of attention, but there's a lot of other things that happen every day where we see examples of the staff working very well together.
I'd like to shift gears just slightly for a moment and talk about the encampment. The sale of the Brookside property on King Street in Cobourg is imminent. I believe it's sometime in November. That deadline is quickly approaching. Has anyone, such as the purchasers or the representatives or anyone else, spoken to the county about the future of the people living in the encampment?
We've not received any formal communication at this point. Most of our information is coming from the broader public, the same as everyone else. We don't have a lot of direct information. I think that will be forthcoming as we get closer to those deadlines and the sale closing.
All right. But I mean, it's one of those things like a fire. You can see the smoke. Maybe not the flames, but you can see the smoke. So what is the county doing, if anything, to help these people at this moment?
I think that one of the things that we really do talk about is, you know, everybody is looking for a plan, and it's not as simple as having a plan. It's multiple plans, and there are services available. Those services have been offered throughout, and you know, even before there was an encampment at Brookside, we were certainly offering a lot of services. And you know, if we look at, you know, what we've done over the last year or so, there's been, you know, 17 individuals that have been moved from living rough into a stable housing situation. You know, we've offered, I think it's 129 rent supplement agreements across the county that we have for folks that were either homeless or at risk of being homeless. We continue to do outreach, and sometimes it is as simple as getting folks connected with service. Maybe they're not an OW or ODSP client yet. Maybe they need identification so that they can move through some of those system requirements. Maybe they need to be connected with other support agencies in the community, and our outreach workers are doing that. We've added two outreach workers this year. They're not exclusive to the Brookside encampment. They serve the entire county, but they are visiting the encampment on a regular basis. And we have seen the numbers at the encampment reduce. They have come down significantly. And many of those folks have moved on with the assistance of the outreach team and the various supports that they offer. Some have moved on through their own choices and resources, but that those numbers are coming down. And we have to not lose sight of the fact that there are other folks living rough in Cobourg and across the county, and it's not just at Brookside. So it's having plans for all of those people. They're individualized depending on what their specific needs are.
I'm sure you can appreciate, though, everybody knows this deadline is coming up. And I guess, to what extent is the county monitoring the situation so that if there was something to happen, what is it going to do once something is announced?
I think the county, excuse me, the county is, of course, going to be involved. We are the service manager for the area. So folks that need supports, we are going to be there and be a partner. We have the services that we deliver directly, and we bring together the partner agencies. So yes, certainly our social services and outreach team are going to be part of that, along with all of the other community agencies. We have a significant role in making sure that those efforts continue to be there. We continue to look at alternatives. We do need to get the 310 facility up and running. That is the best location to serve the needs of the most individuals at that site. Continuing to push forward and making sure that this construction gets completed to make sure that the first floor can get open at any day now. We really need to push forward to get 310 as one of the options. Options can be other things depending on what folks need at that particular point in time, but we are continuing to see the numbers reduce, continuing to do the outreach and help folks as they're willing to accept supports, because we have to remember that at this point in time, support is voluntary. and we can only work with those that are willing to accept our services. So the offer's there. We continue to approach them, continue to offer the services, but we need to get 310 open, as well as continue to push with all of our other supports.
I guess since there has been some public talk about a particular date in November, why isn't the county making a phone call?
That has I have reached out to my colleagues at Infrastructure Ontario, and we're working on getting some meetings set up. So that outreach has been made on my part.
The mayor of Cobourg has raised the point that the county is irresponsible by letting those unsheltered released into the town, and who knows where they will end up. How do you respond as someone who oversees the staff and executes the direction given to you by politicians?
I think that it's always disappointing, and it's very very discouraging for staff when those types of comments are made. But we have a job to do, and we'll continue to deliver the services the best we can. We know what our mandate is. We know what direction we have from council. We know what resources we have, and we continue to do our very best to offer those services. We also know what our limitations are, and what there are many things happening in the community that are simply outside of our scope and our authority. We are responsible for the homelessness system, and we work the best we can to acquire the resources we need and to make sure those resources are effective. We work well with all of our community agency partners to make sure that as many services as can be provided are available. We know that this is a very emotional issue for the community. We understand that there is a lot of concern for the folks that are experiencing this, as well as the folks in the community that are impacted by homelessness and by the other issues related to homelessness, be they the opioid crisis or the challenges with mental health that many folks are experiencing. And many of those are other issues that are outside of the county. They are healthcare issues. They are justice issues. And we work with our partners in those fields as best we can, but we are limited to where we can have impact, and we do our very best within that lane.
I guess when we look at this in terms of jurisdiction, when the time comes and if people don't move on, it's up to the Cobourg police to go in and move them on. And I know that they're working on a plan for that contingency when it comes. Has the county been contacted at all to work with the police to help make a smooth transition?
The county staff and the local police, we're in contact all the time. There are members of the Cobourg police that they are going in side by side with the outreach workers. They've been doing that all along. They all have very close working relationships. They interact with the individuals in the encampment and other encampments around town together. They have great working relationships. I certainly meet as needed with the chief. So those conversations, they happen on an ongoing basis, and we do work very collaboratively together. Our teams have an understanding of what the needs are, and they know the individuals there, and they do work very closely to try and meet their needs of those folks.
When the rubber hits the road, we will see the police and the county working together to help when this has to happen.
We work together, like I say, every day, and if there's a change at Brookside, I see no reason why we won't work together then too. We have a good working relationship with all of our community partners.
So, what's next for 310 Division then? What can we look forward to, or what should we keep an eye on as things unfold? What would you say listeners should be watching for?
For now, our staff are very busy working with the contractors to get the balance of the building ready to open. That is top priority to make sure that the facility is ready to go. We are not taking the foot isn't coming off the gas on that. We want to make sure that that building is good to go. So when we can finish navigating through the bylaw process, that the facility is ready. and that it will meet the needs of as many clients as we can. We're continuing to make sure that Transition House are ready and the resources are ready. They'll have the staffing and everything that they need the minute that we're able to open those doors. And we are continuing to be trying everything we can to work with the town to come to a satisfactory way of moving forward. We really know that our community needs a place for folks to go. The challenges with folks not having an adequate shelter are being felt across the town and the broader community. And we really need to get it open. And like we said, we know it's not going to solve all the problems, but it is a huge step forward from where we're at today. And we think it'll have a very meaningful difference.
And what about the encampment? What should people be looking for there, and from your perspective?
I think it's really just continuing to reach out to those folks. We know when we a couple of weeks ago we had a big outreach at the encampment. There was excitement and interest in moving into 310. I think there are a number of folks there feeling hopeful that it will better meet their needs than what the existing shelter does. And they go hand in hand. So it is really making sure that we're offering all the supports that we can. Making sure that those supports are as flexible as possible so that they will meet the needs of those individuals when they're willing to come forward to come in and accept those supports that they adapt and are flexible and meet what they're asking for.
Jennifer Moore, I want to thank you so much for talking to me today.
You're welcome.
That was Northumberland County CAO Jennifer Moore. I want to thank my guests this week for talking to me, and I want to thank all the listeners for tuning in today. Please join me again next week when we will talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life and Northumberland County. So please tune in. If you would like to listen or share this or any podcast, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. There you will find past podcasts, news, and other information about life and politics in Northumberland County. Or you can go to the radio station's website at northumberland897.ca. I'm Robert Washburn. Thanks for taking time out of your day to listen in, and I hope over the week you will continue to consider this. Thank you for listening to this podcast from Consider This. If you have any comments or would like to suggest a story, please contact me at considerthisnorthumberland@gmail.com, or you can message me on Facebook at Consider This. If you enjoyed this podcast or are looking for more news and information about Northumberland County, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. That's consider-this.ca. And don't forget to share. And again, thank you for listening and stay tuned for more from Consider This.